For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today we are going to be talking about career clarity, how to feel unstuck in your career. Shout out to Kara for taking reins on this outline. I don't have too much to say about career clarity, so I'm excited for you to take lead on this and help us all navigate through feeling unstuck in our careers.
You know, and I'm still learning as well. You know, I'm still in my 20s, barely hanging on by thread, but your career lasts a long time. So it was fun to make this outline and also kind of learn, also remind myself of different action steps I can be taking. And we'll give some good applicable advice. Even myself, I don't really have a traditional career path, but I think this advice can be applicable to anybody. And we'll give some best steps that you can apply to your own career path and whatever you're doing. So I'm excited to get in as well.
And I also asked one of my mentors who has a traditional corporate career path, has worked a 9-to-5, is still in a 9-to-5, for some advice for this episode. And I really liked what he had to say. So I'll probably lean on him for that.
Yeah. And this is our last topic for our 12 weeks of How to Thrive in 2025. If you guys have made it here, if you've listened to the other episodes, and you're kind of ending this full circle of all the different categories of our lives that we can thrive in, thanks for being here and congrats. And I think that's a really great indicator that we're all trying to better ourselves this year.
Yes, exactly. But as always, we are going to do a little catch up on our personal lives, share our peaks of the week, listener peaks of the week, and then we will get into the career topic.
Any fun updates with you? I mean, you've been go, 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 moving so many times. What's the latest update with that?
Latest update is Clay and I currently live in a 2-bedroom apartment in Tulum. I really like this one. It has a rooftop. We're going to stay here for 6 months. And then after that, maybe we go to Europe or something. And so I actually really like the 6-month timeline because it's kind of lighting a fire under my ass to be like, okay, I need to romanticize my time here now rather than feeling like I'm here forever. I think we'll come back next winter for high season. But it made me like really plan some fun things last week. Like I made it to aerial yoga twice. I went to a mat Pilates. We had an amazing beach day yesterday. I did some stuff with Tulum Dinner Club on Friday. We went to this brand new hotel. It's Moroccan inspired. It's insane. Like if you go to their Instagram with the drone shots, it's like 4 massive building complexes. And it's kind of unique because it's like, why did you build a Moroccan themed resort in Tulum? Not really sure. But as a local, I was like, personally, I love this because everything in Tulum is kind of the same aesthetic, that like boho, rustic, lots of green leaves, lots of brown and tan. So it felt really fun to go somewhere that has a different vibe for a day. I'm curious why someone maybe in their own instance, if they were traveling to Tulum for a week, would be like, oh, yeah, let me stay at the Moroccan place in Tulum. But after going, I'm like, I understand now because it was amazing. So we just like shot a bunch of content there. And yeah, I feel like I just did a lot this week as like romanticizing my life, knowing that we have this 6-month timeline and who knows what will happen after that. And in synchronicity with the How to Thrive in 2025 series coming to an end, I feel really balanced in my life right now. I feel like I've been trying to lean into each episode's theme of that week and really have some self-awareness, pay attention to what's going on in my life, take inventory, reflect, make adjustments accordingly. And it's leaving me feeling like excited to take more action on all of these things, especially like now it's spring. We just had the, what do you call it, spring ahead. So now I feel like spring cleaning energy, refresh, yeah. Renew, full moon this weekend. Yeah. I don't know. I'm feeling good. How are you feeling?
That's great. I'm also feeling good. I'm with you. I love the spring energy. Kind of, yeah, the spring cleaning, I guess. Getting my house clean, getting my life figured out and sorted. I agree. I think each week has been fun to kind of focus on each category as well. So I'm right there with you. It was kind of like a good little maintenance to start out the year. Other updates, I had McKenna in town for the first half of the week last week. So that was really fun. We ran around, did sister things. We went to the zoo. I took her to the zoo because McKenna has been obsessed with penguins since she was a child. Literally had a penguin-themed bedroom, like penguin-themed everything. It was funny though, because I was like, did you ever have a penguin-themed birthday party? And she said no. I was like, okay, that was a little bit of an oversight. But literally everything else was penguin-themed always. And that was fun. And we went and saw all the penguins. And there was a really cutie worker. There was a guy working inside named Colin. Shout out to Colin. He was so sweet. He gave us all the penguin information because when we walked in, all the penguins were like staring at the wall, just standing there. And we're like, what is going on? They looked not real. And he's like, no, they're sleeping. Like, oh my gosh. And he told us all the facts we needed to know. So that was really sweet. Shout out to Colin. We wrote at the end when we were leaving, we went to the customer service and wrote like a little comment card for him about how wonderful he was because he literally gave us penguin facts for like, not even joking, 10 minutes. So that was great. And then also kind of fun part of having McKenna here, she was here long enough where Margo really calmed down and she got to see Margo's sweet side because Margo is a German Shepherd and she's like half working breed. So most people only see her wanting to play fetch with them or just like dropping her ball endlessly, you know, to our house guests or to a visitor house. But McKenna was here long enough that Margo was like, oh, I guess she moved in. I'm going to act normal. So she got to see her sweet and cuddly side, which was cute. And then I guess one other update, it was tornadoing this weekend in St. Louis. So Friday we were locked down, went into the basement. There was hail. It was luckily nothing really bad happened here, but it was a little scary at first. Could have been crazy.
I know. Omaha was having tornadoes too. And the gal working the shop was like, we have a tornado warning. Like, should I close the store? And I'm like, I mean, definitely. Like, here's the code to the basement. Like, please be safe if it starts to get to that point. But it's insane to me how different places in the world can just have drastically different weather at the same time. I mean, I know the world is so massive, but even here when I like see a blizzard on Instagram somewhere or like a hurricane or something and you're just like sitting outside and it's like a nice day, you're like, how is that happening in this exact same moment? And you're just over there and you're in like a natural disaster. And then I'm over here and it's like hot, or then you switch and you're in a natural disaster and someone's just chilling at the beach, like having a great day.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot going on. And there was multiple tornadoes because we got hit Friday, but then in Alabama and Birmingham, where my family lives, there was like a whole nother one hitting them the next day, which was apparently worse. So, but everyone's fine. And my family, we were all turned out fine, but it was a little scary. And Margo, it's crazy how dogs know, like she was even scared. And that was freaking everybody out. Even McKenna was like, is Margo scared? I'm like, yeah, she's like, that's crazy that they know. She could definitely tell.
Oh yeah, animals are so smart. Crazy animal story. My friend was at the beach the other day and she said a crocodile just went across like the main little road there, and a king crab that was like a foot wide and like 8 inches tall, just like getting onto her moped. And I'm like, oh, I have never once been on the lookout for either of those creatures when I'm just da-da-da-da-da walking along. So last night when we were at the beach, normally I let Peaches like rain free, like no leash, wherever she ends up, you know, sniffing around, going into some bushes or whatever. I was like, maybe I should keep a closer eye on her.
Maybe I should look out for crocodiles. That's insane. That's so scary. I thought you were going to say the crocodile ran into the ocean, because they do that now. Alligators and crocodiles have been swimming in the ocean.
Isn't there two different types of crocodile
versus alligator?
Well, there's crocodiles and alligators. I think there's, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of types, but I think that there's like ocean crocodiles and then like, what do you call it?
Water. Yeah, freshwater. Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, we're not.
Yeah.
Biology is Colin.
We need to call Colin up and be like, what is your crocodile knowledge? Because, no, apparently, I don't know. Maybe it is different ones. But in Florida, I've seen videos that the ones, I think they're the same ones. I could be wrong. They've adapted now and they've started swimming in the ocean. I really don't like that.
The ocean still scares me because when I was in Tulum in like 2018, actually, I went in the cenote on a cenote tour. And I've probably told this on here, but I was flipping my little fins on my feet. And then the tour guide like turned around and he was like, hey, could you stop doing that? And I was like, what? And he pointed and there was a crocodile. I'm not exaggerating, 8 feet away from us, like right on the outer ledge of the bank. And so we had to just go straight past him. And I don't think I've been in a cenote since then. I'll perch up on the side.
I've lost interest. Why have I seen a lot of videos of crocodiles in Mexico? People swimming in. I don't know if it's always in those, but I've seen a lot of friendly looking crocodiles in Mexico on TikTok. People swimming in rivers and they're always just chilling on the side.
Yeah. You know, I love that we're perceiving them as friendly. And
yeah,
that's great for other people. I'll take the precaution. Yeah. I don't need a Steve Irwin moment. Like, it's not for me. I'll be on the side with like an acai bowl.
Yeah.
And my beach towel and cheer everyone on.
I love that. Well, other really quick thing. It is St. Patrick's Day. Me and Allison are both wearing green. You guys cannot see this, but we just wanted to know, let you guys know that we are celebrating because as an Irish gal, this is my day.
Is there any luck that you want to have come your way today?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. My luck is that I hope that I use my time management skills well today because I have a freaking busy ass day. I have so much I have to get done today and I don't want to be staying up till midnight getting it all done. So that's what I hope the luck goes to my brain and tells it to focus and not get distracted today. How about you?
I hope that I'm getting eyelash tinting and an eyelash lift. It's my first one ever. Mm-hmm. And I hope that my eyelashes don't get burned off.
Oh, yeah. And like react well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Can we transition into peaks? Because mine is related to this.
Yes. What's your peak?
Okay. I mean, I was going to say other fun things like the beach day and whatever, but I already said all that. But I did get my eyebrows tinted and laminated for the first time ever, which was very scary because my eyebrow hair and most of my body hair is like completely white. Like if you like look at my arm, like you cannot see any hair on my arm. It's so faint. And so obviously my eyebrows were super faint too. So I was worried that if I ever went and got them done, that they would just go so hardcore and I would be like just jump scare. And I'm not going to lie. When she gave me the mirror, it was still a jump scare. And she was like, you don't like it. And I was like, I'll adjust. And it's the same girl who like did my nails and is doing my eyelashes today. So I see her quite a bit. And she was like, no, it looks natural. And I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. She's like, it will fade a little bit. And now I'm used to them because it's been like, I don't know, 4 days or something. But it was scary at first. But now I'm adjusting. And I think it's a good thing for me to have eyebrows.
Wait, I like it. I think it looks great. I didn't even notice that you had them done or anything. So I feel like that means it looks very natural.
Okay, good. Thank you. I have no makeup on. It's just the eyebrows right now. It looks fine.
Oh, yeah. And I like when people have eyebrows. Like I like a darker eyebrow, even for the blonder gals and stuff. Like I think that always looks really, really good and complements your face very well.
I think that's what's hard because like I see other people that have darker hair, darker features. Mm-hmm. And I think like the big eyebrow looks so beautiful, but I was scared that it was going to be like not cohesive.
No, it looks really good. And I haven't got my eyebrows tinted, but I will say they always say the first week is or like the first day or two is really dark and it's really jarring, but then it fades.
Well, I got it done here because price wise, I was like, if this goes wrong, it's $25, tax and tip included for tint, waxing, and lamination. I'm like, we can take the risk. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you make me jealous every time you talk about the beauty services. It's insane. Well, it looks really good. Really, really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. From the eyebrow queen.
Yes, it took, we got there. Not me having the skinniest eyebrows in high school, like over tweezing them, but now we have eyebrows.
And what was your peak of the week?
Oh, I'm going to say my peak of the week. I was like, I forgot what it was, but I just saw what I wrote down. I fixed my camera this weekend. This was a task that I've been wanting to do for a while because it broke probably right before our honeymoon. So this was back in September, which was a bummer because I didn't have it on my honeymoon. Basically, one of the screws fell off on the back. There's an LCD screen on all the Canon G7Xs that flips up. And one of the screws on the back fell off. So the whole screen fell off, which isn't that big of a deal because the screen didn't technically break. Just the wire that connects it to the actual camera snapped and it fell off. And I found a YouTube tutorial probably 4 months ago that from this guy named Gabe Tran. Shout out to Gabe, literally saved my life. And he was like, you can order the wire on eBay for $12 and fix this yourself. Because when I submitted a form to Canon to get it fixed through Canon, because no photo video services will fix the LCD screen. I guess they just don't like dealing with it. It's really tedious because I reached out to some camera repair places here in St. Louis and they're like, no, only Canon fixes it. It was literally like $400. And so I found this YouTube tutorial, ordered the parts. They came in on Saturday. I was like, I need to do this because I had the parts probably since the end of January, but I just knew it was going to be a big lift task. And Saturday I was just like standing around not doing anything. And I was like, okay, today's going to be the day. So got everything out. It literally took 5 hours. So I was just taking my time because you have to unscrew every screw on this camera. This is like a $700 camera. Take everything out. You have to pull out the broken wire. Like very tedious, very hands-on. I felt like very much a gear techie nerd person doing it all. And I had to leave halfway through to go to Lowe's because the screwdriver I was using was like a little bit too big and it was starting to strip some of the nails. And I was panicking. So I'm like, if I strip any of these nails, like this project is over. I can't get these out.
Nails or screws? He's like,
what's that?
Was it nails or screws?
Screws, like screws inside the camera to get all the parts open. Some of them were literally so stuck. I had to use a hairdryer and loose them up, get it all out. Finally opened it up, fixed the wire, put it back together. And then I turned it on. First thing when I turned it on, it didn't work. And I literally had Connor film my reaction. So it was very funny the first time. I was like, oh, this flopped so hard. But then I asked ChatGPT, I'm like, why did I follow this step by step? And it didn't work. And it was like, check the cord one more time. Sometimes when you put it back together, it can get a little loose. And so I opened up a couple of the screws and saw it was loose. Put it in a little bit tighter, closed it all up, turned it on. It worked. I literally screamed. I was so happy because I fixed it for $20 instead of $400. So that just left me on such a high. And it was actually a very fun Saturday activity. And it was reminding me of like doing a Lego set or like puzzles or something. It literally was a puzzle, like putting things together. And it reminded me that I needed to get back into my puzzle era or doing things like that because it was just very satisfying. Honestly, like a little hobby. I'm like, do I open up a camera repair? Should I fix everyone's G7Xs? Because it is actually such a common problem. I actually had a couple of people message me being like, wait, mine is broken in the exact same way. And it's very easy. So if you guys have a broken camera, specifically the G7X, fix it yourself. Do not pay that $400. Not worth it at all.
Wow. Well, congratulations on figuring it out. That's really impressive. And
I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's like a little intellectual wellness challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, if I had failed, I still could have sent it in and had them fix it. Like, I don't think they would have known that I tried to fix it myself. So that was my whole thing. And the camera's only $700. Like for $400 to fix it, at that point, let me just buy a new one. That's why I didn't want to pay it either. If it was like $200 or less for them to fix it, I probably would have just sent it off. But they made it almost like too expensive where I'm like, why would I pay over half of the cost of a new camera to fix this one?
Okay, well, I have a tech question for you then, since we're on topic. So my old laptop, I reset it because I was going to give it to my assistant and I made a password and I forgot the password. I swear to God, it was just Tulum 2025. Like I thought I just typed in something really obvious. Turns out I didn't. I tried like every variation of it. Now there's not like it's reset. So there's, I don't know what to do to reset the password because there's nothing associated with it anymore. So now I need to just get it completely back to factory reset where you open it and it says like hello for the first time. But I cannot figure out how to do that. And same, this computer is a dinosaur. It's like not worth anything. Like I'm never going to get money for it. I'm not going to pay to fix it because even I looked on eBay for the cost of it, like the value. It's worth like $148 because it's from 2015, but it works so good. And I swear they made things different back then because this thing is a brick. Like I went backpacking in Ecuador with it. Like it's been tossed around in my bag so much. Like it is indestructible. So I don't want to get rid of it, but I cannot figure out how to override factory reset the factory reset, basically.
Oh no. I honestly don't know. I feel like you'd have to take it to an Apple store and hopefully they could like plug in the wire and get you in.
I tried going to a new like, you know, fake Apple store here. There's definitely not an actual Apple store. And the lady was like, okay, yeah, come back. We'll make an appointment and like get to pay something. And I was like, I should be able to figure this out. Like it's got to just be some combination of like holding command shift 742 at once for like 18 seconds. Like they got to have some sort of override for that.
I mean, people steal laptops and stuff and get in. So you just need someone to do that for you.
I need chat to go stealth mode and figure it out for me.
Okay, well, I'm hoping you get that sorted. If not, maybe someone can take it back with them that visits you and like take it to an Apple store or something.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, maybe my luck. I'll ask for that. I don't want to do it today, but with the St. Patrick's Day luck, asking for luck on that.
Asking for you to remember the password.
Or that. That'd be really nice. So dumb.
No, that sucks. It truly is. When you put in a dumb password thinking that you'll never forget it, you never remember it. I've done that so many times. Like, made a password for a grocery store account, like grocery 123. And then I'm like, it's gone. I don't remember it. And I have to reset it. But that sucks. Those are really hard to reset. Impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my L of the week.
Okay. Should we do listener peaks?
Yes.
Anna is celebrating St. Patrick's Day in Dublin with her besties. Love the St. Patrick's Day energy. Hope you're having a great time.
How fun. Bailey said, welcome, baby Oliver Earthside, and I couldn't be more obsessed with being a mom. Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations. That's so cute. Tay said, going on a much needed vacation on Saturday. Hope you have safe travels and have a great time.
And Jenna said, I found out I passed my first CPA exam a fourth of the way there. Congratulations to you as well. And as always, send in your piece of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday. The Instagram handle is at Our Defense Podcast.
Okay, today we're going to talk about how to feel unstuck in your career and how to find that clarity to kind of move forward and feel like you have your career in your own hands. So I think feeling stuck is a very common problem with people in their 20s, in their 30s, because you're still in like the first half of your career and you're definitely still able to make career jumps, career moves without really having any repercussions because you're still so early on in your career. So first off, I wanted to kind of identify maybe why you might feel stuck or situations that can give you that feeling. Some common reasons that you might feel stuck in your career: you've stayed too long in a role or at a company because you're afraid of change or risk. You didn't understand what the role was when you accepted the position, and maybe you're doing something that you don't really want to do. You might be too comfortable in your routine. You've convinced yourself to wait around and see if a change will happen at your company or job. You feel like you can't turn down your high salary or the job career you're in for a lower paying job that's maybe more aligned with what you want to do. You aren't sure of your career trajectory or what you want to do next. You're not even sure what you want to be doing. You're unsure of your values or what you offer. You feel extremely dependent on your one job and are kind of scared of what would happen if that were to go away. Or maybe there's external pressures to stay where you're at from your family, from society, maybe financial pressures, or just not knowing what other options exist. I can definitely relate to some of these, have definitely felt stuck in a way of, okay, I don't love what I'm doing, but I don't really know what to do next or where to go. And I feel like all these situations can leave us to feel unsure about our careers.
And I want to offer one that's the flip side of not knowing what other options exist. I think it can also feel overwhelming that there's so many options that then you end up staying in a certain role or job because you're like waiting until whatever this other perfect dream job that comes your way. Because of course, now on social media and with LinkedIn and the internet, you can get on and find like a million job openings, but you're like, I don't even know where to begin. I have to do a different resume for all of these jobs. Like, what does that one even entail? If I were to get that one and start interviewing, then would I not even interview for this one? So I think it can feel like, oh, I should just stay where I am and be content here because it's too overwhelming to even think about changing things up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Option overload can be so overwhelming, or even just knowing that you need to do some other things to make a career switch, and it just feels so overwhelming. So you just don't even try, or you just stay put 1,000%. And feeling stuck 100% negatively affects us. Just some ways that it can affect you: it can cause you mental and emotional drain, a lack of motivation, boredom, and can lead to a sense of purposelessness. It can cause increased stress and anxiety. Feeling stuck can create a cycle of self-doubt, imposter syndrome, and anxiety about the future. You can lose your confidence. If you stay in a role where you're not growing, it can really make you question everything, who you are, your skills, and it can make it harder to change where you're at. Of course, this can have a lack of financial growth. If you're staying in a stagnant role because you're afraid of change or afraid of switching it up, you could be missing out on salary increases by switching your job. You can go for a higher salary, change companies. You could be missing out on promotions or new opportunities that better align with your long-term goals. And of course, this can impact your relationships and personal life. I feel like when you're feeling unsatisfied in your career, that frustration often gets taken out on your partner or your friendships, and it can just cause you to be irritable or disengage from your friends and family, which is not great.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony, and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code alreadyfriends at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code alreadyfriends to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, alreadyfriends at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And our careers, depending on what you do, are a big part of our lives. So if you're at a job for, say, 7 to 9 hours a day, and it's not positively contributing to your life, it's going to be really hard before you go into work and after you get off to even mentally clock out because of how negatively it is impacting you. And then if you don't have that satisfaction and life force from your job, it can make it harder to want to care about all of the other things in your life, which then temporary emotions then lead to an overarching mood. That's basically what a mood is emotions that are prolonged. And so if you are feeling stuck and unfulfilled, then those temporary emotions that you're experiencing at your job of maybe not feeling valued or you're bored can then create like a cloud around you of apathy, frustration, sadness, anxiety, stress, whatever it is that your job is putting pressure on you, or if it's just not inspiring you. And then that lens can really affect how you see everything else in your life.
Absolutely. And I think it's good to identify whether you're feeling stuck temporarily because there's always going to be seasons of our jobs, of our lives that are harder and just feel like they're more work and are going to challenge us, or if this feels like a continual thing that you're feeling, kind of like you said, a mood, repeated emotions. So with this conversation, can you think about if you have or are feeling stuck in your career? Is it just a busy season of your life, or is this something that you've been feeling for months and months now? Because I think that would be a good time to adjust and reflect.
And of course, on our podcast, we're all about self-awareness and improving your life. And so since career is such a big part of your life, it is really important to acknowledge where you're at so that you can start working on all of those other dimensions of wellness. And I think it's hard with comparison, social media, and all of these opportunities out there to feel less than. But I think that there's a way that you can still have gratitude for where you're at and make goals to make small changes now that then can lead you for more success in the long run, because your career is something you're going to have for your whole life. So maybe you're not where you want to be yet, but what can you do in a 3-month time span, a 6-month time span, 1 year, 3, 5, because you're not going to get there tomorrow. But there's little things you can do, like updating your LinkedIn or hiring someone to read your resume, or thinking about what courses or additional qualifications you might need in order to map out where you want to be. And you don't want to look back 5 years from now and be like, dang, I wish I had just done that little thing. Kind of similar to finances. If you start investing in the stock market when you're 70, well, due to time constraints, you're not going to have a lot of time for that to compound. So if you can think of your career in this long run game, what are just small shifts that you can do right now? And Kara can talk more about those shifts and why they matter.
Yeah, and it is important to take action if you are feeling stuck, because we spend so much time working. You want to have a fulfilling job, or at least something that doesn't drain you, because again, if you start to feel drained, it can lead to all those things we just talked about. And I feel like the longer that you stay stuck or stay in a position that you don't want to be in, it becomes way harder to pivot. You're wasting time. I mean, not to be so harsh, but if you know that you don't love something, why wait 5, 10, 15 years to switch it? Because there could be so many more opportunities and better opportunities the sooner you switch. But yeah, even if your job isn't your full purpose in life, if it's not so important to you, I think it is still better to have a life where you're excited about what you do for work and you're excited about what your career is. I guess some examples, I definitely can relate to feeling stuck in the past. During COVID, when I was working as a full-time producer, we got all switched to freelance at the end of 2020 because there were just not that many projects for us to work on. And that meant that they were only going to hire us when there was stuff to work on. And that definitely left me looking at my career. And it made me realize that I was super reliant on this one job, because once that job kind of, it didn't go away because I still worked with them freelance, but at the time we only had like one project every 6 months. So I'm like, oh, okay, now I've gone from a reliant paycheck every 2 weeks to a paycheck once every 6 months. That is not good. So it really made me reassess, like, how can I make myself more valuable? What other skill sets can I learn? Or how, like you said, can I show this off on my LinkedIn or on my social media, what I do? What side projects should I build? What do I even want to be doing in 5 years? Do I want to continue growing, you know, trying to climb the ladder at a different company? Because being freelance, you know, now that I wasn't full-time anymore, it's like, do I want to try and take my career to a company where I would be full-time and I would get promoted and hopefully climb the corporate ladder? So I feel like we always have those moments that challenge us and make us think. And that was an example of a time where I had to think and kind of strategize my future and take action to not be so reliant and feel stuck at it, you know, with putting all my eggs in one basket.
Absolutely. And hindsight is always 2020. Now you can look back and be like, oh, I'm grateful for that because it allowed you to put more time into your personal brand, starting mm-hmm. the podcast, other freelancing opportunities. But in the moment, those unexpected changes can be really jarring and scary. And I'm sure all of us have been through them at some point in our lives where we have to move, or we're graduating college, or relationships change. So then therefore your career or your job has to change. Or if you're stuck and you just want to be in a different industry, you're like, oh, I was kind of high up in my current industry and now I'm going down to being a beginner in this new industry, which can be very humbling and make you question things. And so I think the key is when you're faced with that confrontation of change is to look at it from a lens of opportunities, because future you is going to be grateful that you capitalized on this time and made things better for yourself, rather than being like, oh my God, I got fired. I guess I'm just gonna never work again, or I guess I'm just worthless, and end up in a way worse situation. Because if you can reframe it to a positive thing, like there are truly, truly endless opportunities out there. Like, we are so grateful to be alive in a day and age where you can literally make money doing anything. It's mind blowing.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And I think this is a good reminder with Mel Robbins blowing up and like the let them theory, but also the let me theory. We all have so much power in our lives. We have control of our lives. And I feel like this is a great example. Like, we have the power to work in a job that we like, be in a career that we like. So if you are kind of suffering and doing something that you don't want to do, remind yourself you have the power to shift and to readjust and get yourself onto the right track. So how to actually fix feeling stuck? We definitely need to find the root cause. And I feel like you definitely need to sit down and reflect on what you don't like or what's giving you that icky feeling about your current career. Is it your job itself? Is it the people that you work with? Is it the industry? What is going on? And some journal prompts that can kind of help you reflect on your current situation and uncover the root of why you're feeling stagnant. And we'll put these on the website. We'll link this in the show notes. What specifically about my job is making me feel unfulfilled or frustrated? Is it the work itself, the people, the environment, or my own mindset? When was the last time I felt excited or challenged in my work? What changed? Am I staying in this role out of fear, comfort, or external pressure? What am I avoiding or procrastinating on in my career and why? And what is my body telling me about my work situation? Am I stressed? Am I exhausted? Do I dread going to work every day?
Yeah, I love the last one about stress. I saw this amazing quote, and I remember sharing it on my Instagram in the summer, that was like, what is your stress trying to show you? Like, You can take that as like an alarm going off that if you are stressed, something is out of alignment. And I think stress is always perceived to be bad, but it's also your body's way of telling you that it doesn't like what's happening, whether that's emotionally, physically, spiritually, it wants change. And that's why I think the stress and anxiety and fatigue, depression can get worse, because if you continue to ignore those alarms going off, then they're only going to keep sounding louder and louder and louder until you finally are shaken enough to actually do something about it. And so some more prompts to then discover what actually energizes you. What activities make me lose track of time? What are topics that I could talk about for hours? If I didn't have to worry about money, what kind of work would I do? What compliments or feedback have I received about my strengths? And what have I felt the most proud of my work? What was I doing in this situation?
Love those. And taking those prompts, once you kind of figure out what you like, what you don't like, there's a bunch of different action steps you could take. But my biggest piece of advice I'm going to say is find someone that's doing what you want to do and copy them, copy their formula. If they post about their journey, can you do exactly the steps that they did, whether it was like a certain career jump or working in a certain company? Can you reach out to that person? Can you see if they'll mentor you or take them out for coffee and ask them questions on how they got to where they are? The easiest way to do what you want to do in your career is to find someone else that's done it, because we don't have to figure out everything by ourselves. Like, that's why people have mentorship programs, or that's why people mentor, because it feels good to help someone out that's trying to figure it out themselves. So drop the notion that you have to figure everything out on your own and just go out and find somebody who has done it. If you can take a class for them or network or shadow someone that is doing what you want to do, that experimentation and just those small steps toward that are going to help you so much and give you the clarity that you need. Of course, a smaller step is to reframe your mindset. Instead of seeing yourself as stuck, can you view it as a transitional period where you're going to figure things out? Can you kind of think of future you and manifest how happy they're going to feel, how relieved they're going to feel once you kind of get through this challenging period? If you do anything, can you write down one small action step that you're going to take toward feeling better with your career and maybe put a timeline on it? Maybe the small step is, okay, I'm going to reach out to 5 people that work at this company or in this industry by X date. Because even if the growth or the change does not happen overnight, can you put out some feelers? Can you put out some tiny action steps that hopefully can build some momentum in the right direction? And another small step that you can do is figure out when you need to move on. Again, kind of put a timeline or acknowledge if you have outgrown a role or outgrown a company and you know that there's not really any more room for advancement or you're not going to feel fulfilled, even if you change certain things at that company. Can you kind of put a timeline in your head of when you need to leave and when you need to figure out what you do next?
I think another way to help this period would be if you were honest with the people around you. I think we all like to feel in control and we want to be positive and optimistic. And especially to our friends and partners, we don't want to just like trauma dump on them and complain about our job all the time. So we can hold that in. Or there's also the expectation from society to make things seem better than they are. But I think if with a few trusted friends or siblings or your parents or someone in your industry that you could talk to that you can trust and say that you're feeling this way, because you never know what opportunity they might know about or what strengths they can see in you. They might be like, why are you doing this? Like, you would be so good at that thing. I see how much it lights you up. Like, have you ever tried actually doing that for your career instead? Or for example, my assistant, I hired her because she was a server at this restaurant that I always go to. And I was like, how are you doing? And she was like, you know, this thing happened and I'm just really overworking here. And I was like, well, do you want a job? I'll hire you. And if she hadn't said that, like the month before when I would just see her there and she was like, oh, good. I would have never known that she was seeking a new position. But her honesty is what allowed me to have awareness that that was something she wanted. And so within 10 minutes, I was like, okay, you have a new job. And like her life completely 180'd in that moment with her being able to be honest with herself and someone else. And I'm sure there's instances in your life, if you're feeling stuck, where you could allow someone to offer you either a solution or a new industry idea or a connection that could totally change the trajectory if you allow it.
Oh, absolutely. I love that example. And you definitely need to get it out of your head if you are feeling this way, because you're so right. Getting new jobs is all about networking. And we always say it's all about who you know. Really cliche, cheesy, we know, but it really is. And you have to put the feelers out and tell people that you're not happy and be vulnerable, because that's going to help you so much. And even an outside perspective of what you're good at or your strengths, it's sometimes it's so hard to know what we are really good at, but everyone else can see it. And it is nice to have other people kind of help you get on the right track.
Especially during this time when you're maybe not feeling as confident and having someone who sees the good in you and all of your best assets to really help push you back up into a position that makes you feel excited and inspired again.
Well, moving on to the getting clarity part, this obviously is going to take time. I don't think most people have it figured out. I feel like a lot of us are just kind of going through life, trying our best. But we do say that you need to have somewhat of a North Star, what you want to do. And through reflecting, I think you can get clarity, but also through action and trial and error. I think that's how you're going to get the best clarity of what you do and don't like, and trying things and seeing how you react to them and allowing yourself to fail at certain things is going to give you a lot of clarity. But first, to kind of reflect on what you hope your future career to look like, some questions you can ask yourself. If I could create my ideal workday, what would it look like? Where am I? Who am I working with? What am I doing? This is definitely a common theme in our How to Thrive in 2025 series of just picturing future self and writing that down. I think that totally applies here with your career as well. What kind of impact do I want to make in my career? What does success look like to me? Not what it looks like to society or what it looks like to your friends, family. What does it truly look like to you? In 5 years, where do I want to be professionally, personally? And who is someone that I admire doing what I want to do? And what about their career inspires me?
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And one of those that I want to touch on really quick is the what kind of impact do you want to make? I think sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the amount of impact that we want to make, that we, I don't want to say dream too big, but we get overwhelmed by the dream that then we don't take action. And one of our very first guests, maybe like first five guests, she started a swimwear company and she talked about how her goal was just to affect her corner of the world. And once you do that and you start making waves in your area, whether that's your small business that serves your neighborhood or your whole city or your whole state or the country or a specific niche, and then that niche continues to grow, you can just focus on the corner right in front of you. And as you go on, that will get bigger and bigger. It's like, you know, a big fish in a small pond. But I think that can be really helpful in this because, okay, take vintage clothing accessories. With my secondhand store, if I originally had my dream to be like the coolest vintage store in the country, I probably would have never opened my store. But I was like, all I have to do is serve the neighborhood. And I'm like, I can do that. Like, that's a size market that I feel confident that I can do. And now after a few years, I'm like, maybe I could open another store in another state or expand in a different way. But you can cross those hurdles when they come. And if you're even still interested, because as we change as people, so do our interests and so does the way we want to move our career forward. And so in this transition or change, I would just encourage you not to get too, I guess, overwhelmed really just is the word, about how much you want to change or how big of an impact you want to make, that it hinders you from even making that change at all.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I love that example. Some wrapping up tips for how to take what you want to do and kind of make it a reality. We're all about the small attainable steps. How can you reverse engineer your career goals and write down some attainable action steps that you can do? Break those big goals into smaller milestones. What do I need to do in the next 3 years to get where I want to be? The next 1 year, the next 6 months? Can you build a roadmap of maybe what skills you need to develop? If it's a complete industry switch, what courses do I need to get registered into, or what certifications do you need to get? Again, making a little bit of a roadmap and a checklist of all the different things can really break down that big, daunting task and make it attainable. Of course, taking action is going to be the best thing, even if it's imperfect, even if you're not ready. Small action steps like applying for a role, even if you're not ready to make a switch, start applying for jobs that you're not going to get, or even probably not even going to have your resume picked out of the desk, out of the stack, because it'll just get you into the flow of it. It'll kind of build your confidence so that when the perfect dream job comes along, you've done it time and time again. Can you make some side projects or some passion projects that are more reflective of what you want to do so that you can start building a portfolio, even if it's not legit, at a legit company or a legit house plan, interior design plan, whatever, even making mood boards from Pinterest or posting on social media, making little videos of what you want to do. That is a portfolio nowadays. You can truly fake it till you make it in so many industries that there are people that are thought leaders in different categories that never actually even had big clients. They just kind of made vision boards of what they would do if they were the creative director for this brand, or what they would do if they were a consultant, a marketing consultant for XYZ brand. And now these big brands are paying them because they built a portfolio of amazing ideas, but never even got hired by those brands. So I feel like there's so many different ways that you can take action. You don't need to actually have a legitimate job or be at a certain company to do any of these things. A couple few rapid fire tips. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with expanders, connect with people who've achieved what you want to achieve, or other people who are just going after their dreams, chasing their dreams. Can you join a co-working space? Can you find networking happy hours in your town? I think finding those people that are doing what you want to do and connecting with them is going to be so helpful. And a big tip, the last one I'll leave you guys with that I'm seeing everywhere, is take the risks now while you can. Before you start a family or before your life gets so busy, take the risks now that you want to do. Because like you said, you don't want to look back in 10, 15 years and be like, dang it, I should have done that then. when I had all the free time, when I wasn't running around to soccer games or basketball practices or all these different things that happen as you get older. If you do have a family, or even just as you progress in your career, maybe you stay at a company and you get really high up, but you're like, dang it, I should have left when I was in my 20s, started my own thing, because now it's like those golden handcuffs. So can you take the risks now while you still can?
All right. And to wrap up, I'll share the advice from one of my mentors. I asked him, if someone is deciding if they want to stay in corporate or if they want to switch into entrepreneurship or freelancing, these were the 5 pieces of advice that he gave, or just to anyone in their career. Number one, don't let anything kill your optimism or confidence while going through the job application process. It's super humbling. He said he spent 7+ years at the same company getting promotion after promotion, and then he was laid off unexpectedly and had to restart. Trying to network and apply was foreign to him, as he had always had opportunities come to him. So it was a really excruciating process to try and reduce himself to a 1-page resume and hope that someone at a company actually takes the time to read it and then hire you. So with that, he recommends not blasting your resume to the void of HR company websites and LinkedIn. He said it's the lowest ROI activity you can do in your job search. So he recommends the networking, which is what we talked about, and finding someone at a specific company or job that you're interested in, reach out and connect with them and ask them what you can do to get your foot in the door. The third thing is seek ruthless clarity, perfectly aligned with today's episode. Take time to think about what kind of role you want. What do you want the day-to-day to be? What kinds of work tasks? What size of company? What industry? Do you want an office job, remote or hybrid? And what sort of titles are you targeting? He said, start wide and narrow it down again and again. He said this helped him a lot because when he was first applying, he noticed that there were so many different roles open and that it was a big waste of time to craft his resume to specific things. And then it not even hardly ever get looked at. So his process is to identify 2 to 3 industries that you're the most interested in, then identify 5 to 10 companies that are in those industries that you're interested in. Then comb through the people that work there on LinkedIn or their websites, figure out their titles and roles and how you could contact them. Then send messages or connection requests, and then try to meet up in person or have coffee or a phone call to start that process of skipping the line, is what he would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth piece of advice. One of the most valuable things he said is to make a list of people who have the results and reverse engineer it, how they got there, and try and connect. Same as we said. And fifth, follow your strengths, not your passions. What do other people tell you that you're a natural at? What type of work comes easily to you and do you not mind doing and maybe even actually enjoy it? I really love the last one, strengths, not your passions. I read the book Untethered Soul at Work. We've shouted out the Untethered Soul on here quite a bit. And the Untethered Soul at Work really helped me reframe that for me, that your life can be your passion. It can be being a parent. It can be being a good friend. It can be being involved in your church or a sport, or being amazing at cooking. Like, there are so many things you can do outside of your career that you can be passionate about. And of course, I think it's great to have passion in your career, but this is something that pays the bills. So I think it's mostly important that you enjoy it and you're good at it to keep your confidence up, and it doesn't make you miserable. It doesn't have to be your entire life. And I think that that's like a new age pressure that we've put on. Like, I don't know how we really got to that point in society where your career has become so encompassing of like who you are and your brand. But I love having friends or seeing people online where I'm like, I don't even know what they do for work. Like, it's cool. Like, they're just so much of their own person outside of their job that they don't need to talk about it all the time or define themselves in that way. So maybe just, yeah, taking the pressure off of it having to be so perfect and focusing more on just enjoying it and what you're good at and what makes you feel holistically more positive than negative.
I absolutely love that. I need to read that book because I agree. We've gotten so, as a society, into the habit of putting people in boxes of what they do. And I agree, there's so much more to us outside of our careers. So if you are stressing out or if this is really feeling overwhelming, that is a great reminder to end on, that you are not your job. Your job is what makes you money to fund, hopefully, the life that you love, the life that you love to live. And yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help. Know that with all these little small steps, you're going to create the momentum to get you to where you want to be.
And the last thing I'll say is if you're someone who has a good job and makes a good amount of money and you're just afraid to change because of that, the job is to earn you money, like you said, for what you actually want to do. But there are so many free things in life. There are so many ways to temporarily downsize. Like maybe you trade your car in for a lower car payment. Maybe you pause some of your subscriptions. Maybe you move into a smaller house or a smaller apartment while you're in this time of transitioning and know that you can get back to where you want to be. But how much money you make isn't defining you either. Like it's interesting. One of my good friends from college, his mom managed Taco John's locations and his dad was a lawyer. And whenever he would tell people what his two parents did, people would be like, oh, your dad's a lawyer. And he's like, yeah, my mom actually makes like three times as much of him as him because she like managed so many locations and was like really high up. But she like literally wore her Taco John's like button up shirt with the logo. And he was like, and him and I were in art school together. So he was like, I just always thought it was funny that people assumed the status of my dad with his career. And like he got so much more attention and credibility for his career as a lawyer versus his mom who managed Taco John's. People were like, oh, your mom works at Taco John's. And he's like, yeah, she's actually a badass and like is the breadwinner in our family. So
wow,
it is really following what you do and not worrying about the title and what other people think.
Well, thank you guys for being here. I think that's a perfect way to end. Perfect way to wrap up. And that was our final topic for How to Thrive in 2025. We'll do a wrap up and in the series next week. So we'll see you there. Thank you for listening to another episode of Already Friends. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.